The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I was at the Kane County Fair yesterday.
Good.
With the Libertarian, with our local Fox Valley Libertarian Party's booth. And I'm just wondering if I was disappointed in the crowd, I guess.
Oh, yeah? Not a lot of people at the fair?
I don't think so. Mm. It didn't seem that way to me. There were people at the carnival part.
The Midway? Yeah.
And it seemed like, you know, as far as coming inside and looking at the booths and stuff, pedestrian traffic wasn't that good. I'm just starting to wonder if the Kane County Fair, county fairs are, at least in more urban areas, become an anachronism.
I hope not. Maybe just around there on the last day, people had shopped already there.
Yeah,
kind of slow, huh?
Very slow Wednesday. So actually, Wednesday was slower than Sunday.
Oh boy. Even.
So you know, maybe Friday and Saturday night weren't too bad. Friday night, Saturday.
Hmm.
But I talked with some of the people that were manning their booths, and they were disappointed.
Okay.
In the turnout.
Well, that's not good.
It used to be, you go to, I mean, at Kane County Fair too, you'd have, if not national name performers, you'd have at least regional people that you might recognize, or groups you might recognize coming to the grandstand.
Not the local fairs. I grew up in DuPage. I don't remember a big,
I don't know about DuPage, but I remember some at least regional, like, I mean, like from the Chicago area or something that. But you don't have that anymore.
Interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. So I don't know if that just, it's just not possible, or I'm not sure what the reasons were, but I was disappointed in the turnout. I mean, we did okay. I mean, considering the amount of people that went by our booth, I thought we did pretty good. We had our typical, come on, which is, how often do you think government does a good job and we give pennies to people to vote for? It's never or seldom, usually, or or what's the third one?
Sometimes, or always. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, the never one. Even though we handed pennies to people, there were dollar bills in the.
Yeah, well, I bought 100 times for that one. You know? That's easy to do.
But you didn't see any dollar bills in the always. Or usually.
No, huh?
No.
Mayor Quinn didn't show up for the fair. Is that what you're saying?
No. We were figuring it was just the bureaucrats and teachers, the few pennies that were in the always jar. That was kind of interesting. And
sure.
then we had our Operation Politically Homeless, which is the world's smallest political quiz, which plots you on the political spectrum where you stand. And most people took the test were actually plotted into the libertarian quadrant.
Yeah, yeah.
But, that's probably a skewed result a little bit.
Well.
I got a feeling people are going to look at the Libertarian Party booth and take the quiz. They're more likely to take the quiz.
Try to fit in a little bit.
If they agree, I would think. I don't know.
It's fun.
So it was fun, and we made some contacts. But I just don't know about these county fairs anymore. At least I think Lake and McHenry have better ones, to be honest with you, than Kane. So I'm not sure about DuPage, actually.
It's coming up this week. Maybe you should go out there.
So, yeah, it is this week, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe not.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
All right, so the big story these days is, I suppose, the Aurora, Colorado shooting.
Of course. Of course it is.
And I'm going to give the predictable response
uh-huh.
to this is that I understand Colorado has concealed carry, so I'm not sure why nobody's prepared. But it seemed to me if somebody had a gun in that audience, a lot of deaths could have been prevented. Once that guy reloads?
Not sure about that. I'm not sure about that.
Once that guy reloads, you know, maybe takes out the first few. He reloads. Isn't that time to?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, and unfortunately, we don't have anything to accurately depict what would happen if someone had some guns in that audience. But you got a dark theater. You don't know where this guy is holding up, and now you have chaos and people running around you.
Right.
You pull out your gun. You want to shoot at somebody.
Well, you got to make sure.
Are you going to hit that target? We don't have any description or stories to back this up. But maybe if people had guns in that theater, maybe this guy doesn't even try.
That's a point.
Well, it's tragic.
But it's he didn't seem to care though.
No,
either.
Of course not. Although he didn't kill
himself. He gave himself up.
Yeah, he gave himself up, which I thought was
phenomenal. And he actually told the cops that his apartment
was
rigged.
Booby-trapped.
Yeah. And he's not going to tell him that if he wants, you know.
Destruction, yeah.
Right.
Oops, surprise.
So none of this makes any sense,
no,
except for one theory, and I know I'm treading in really thin ice
of
with
course.
A lot of people here.
Of course, yeah.
And absolutely. I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying it's a theory that's already out on the internet. How did the guy get all these sophisticated booby trap devices? How did he get all this stuff? Some of it, from what I understand, is very difficult to get for just your average Joe out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also know that the FBI does, in order supposedly try to ferret out terrorism, they actually set people up with stuff. And then they come in and save the day. I mean, they admit this. This part is not conjecture.
Yeah.
They do this thing. Is it possible that he's either some kind of Manchurian candidate, you know, or just drugged up or something? He was a student, a PhD student in neuroscience. Or I don't know. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out. People are wondering, how did he get all this stuff? Could it be something, an FBI sting or operation that went awry?
No.
No?
No.
Absolutely not. That's what my wife said too.
Of course.
I'm not saying no. I'm just posing that as a slight possibility
mm-hmm.
that there's that theory out there. I don't know, but it's, nothing makes sense. This is not, some people call him, he really wasn't a loner. He was quiet,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't a loner. He wasn't your really disgruntled, typical.
Reckless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he was, I guess he did, was he expelled or, I don't know, or he quit or was kicked out of his PhD program?
He was starting to get out of the whole realm of things. I don't know how far he got out of getting out of it, but yeah, he was on his way out.
So maybe, I mean, you know, that might have been a contributing factor, but it's just, he never got in trouble with police before. It's just, none of it adds up.
Mm-mm.
So when nothing adds up, then you start to look beyond your usual theories. I guess that's all I'm saying.
Maybe he just snapped. Maybe the little thing in his brain that was holding his whole life together just
snapped and decided to maybe kill 60 people or so.
You just snap. I mean, you've had enough, you know.
Why would you do that? Even I can see people snapping, killing themselves.
Well, that's just a theory. You have a theory about how things
right.
could happen a different way.
Right.
There's many
right.
theories out there.
No, I'm not, and I'm not saying
course.
You're. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm just
questioning all of it. It's very strange, very strange. Or is it just because the state of the economy that we're in, the state of the country we're in, that these things are going to become more commonplace? Supposedly irrational acts in an irrational time.
What I will say was CNN had a report saying that they thought that maybe he was doing it for his 15 minutes of fame, and I threw that out the window immediately. You don't do that for 15 minutes of fame. So I turned CNN off immediately, and I don't think I'll watch them again for a long time. Just because that one comment they made, I said, no, let's not do that. But let me tell you this, if he's still alive, they're going to question him, probably give him some psychiatric
Right.
If the story comes out, are you going to believe that story? It's going to be months before the story comes out.
I guess it depends. It depends how it reads,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It depends how it, if it, you know, seems to make sense or not.
Interesting.
And if there's any kind of facts or material evidence to back that up,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Was Tower 9 down before they announced that Tower 9 was down? Is that the kind of facts you're looking for? You know, the whole 911 conspiracy theory. They announced that Tower 9 had been collapsed and it was hanging
building,
up behind.
I thought that was Building 7.
I made up a number. It's one of those numbers.
Building 7.
Building 7, yeah. It's collapsed. No, it's behind. Oh, there it goes. Okay, yeah, she's right.
Well, if it had to talk about CNN, I think it was CNN that reported ahead of time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, let's move on. We have one more. Another shooting. This one was in Lake County, Florida. Sheriff's office deputy shot and killed a man they assumed was an attempted murderer suspect. But they shot the wrong man.
Oh, no.
So this guy's, there was a motorcycle in front of this guy's house, and it was this 1:30 in the morning. The deputy's knocking the door, didn't announce themselves. So this guy, Scott, he answered the door with it. He was afraid. Somebody's, you know, marauders coming into his house, apartment, whatever. So he was there with a gun. When we knocked on the door opened and the occupant of that apartment was pointing a gun at deputies. That's when we opened fire and killed him, Lieutenant John Harrell said. Even though the subject was not the one we were looking for when he opened the door, he was pointing the gun at the deputy, and if you put yourself in the deputy's shoes, well, he didn't know it was a deputy.
Of course.
These no-knock raids got to stop. There's too many innocent people being killed.
Well, they're asking for it. You break in the door, if someone breaks down my door, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
You know?
You can't protect yourself anymore in your own house?
I'm just saying.
You're supposed to be unarmed? Go get me if you're criminals or police or whatever?
No, you can't be. You can't be.
No. No. It's outrageous. Well, it looks like a huge lawsuit happening on that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tragic.
Fortunately, you can't bring life back.
No. No. No, you can't.
No matter how much you settle for,
certainly can't.
It's over.
You can, but... sanctions and punishment maybe
doesn't matter.
Deter others in the future.
Yeah,
hopefully
something.
Which
something
is what the, I guess the NCAA is supposed to be doing with Penn State.
Yeah,
we've got what $50 million fine that's going to set up a sex abuse clinic. Oh, and there's some stupid. It seems meaningful stuff, and then there's some stupid. They're taking away all the victories from 1998. Isn't that ridiculous?
I don't know. Yeah, take away the victories.
you did not win.
No.
We're saying you lost, so you lost.
Oh, God.
I mean, that seems pretty darn ridiculous to me. You know, not being in bowl games for 4 years, reducing their free ride scholarships from 25 to 15. Okay, that's all that I can understand. But taking away your victories, that's really... It's really stupid.
Yeah, that is stupid.
All right. We are going to have a guest today. It's Christy LaCroix, and she's a teacher in Wisconsin. And we'll talk to her about her she's the publisher of Freedom from Teachers Union newsletter. And we'll do that after we break for a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Watch the police and the tax man miss me.
Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program right now Christy LaCroix. Christy, who is a
Hi,
how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You're a teacher in Wisconsin, and you publish a newsletter called Freedom from Teachers Unions. Now, looking at cable news over the past year, I would have, if I believe the cable, you must be in a huge minority, because all these teachers are ready to just string up Governor Walker, you know.
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm a huge minority. I'm just the crazy one that's willing to speak out. But there's definitely teachers who think the same way that I do. So I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. you know, sitting here in a corner alone doing this by myself. I mean, I certainly get feedback from other teachers saying thank you, I feel the same way, I just don't want to say anything. So saying huge minority, I think, is a stretch.
So if you teach in Wisconsin, do you have to join the union?
Well, I do. There are several districts in my state. I'm in Kenosha, so I'm not too far from you guys, but mm-hmm. there's several districts that didn't enact governor's budget reform bill, right? Didn't enact Act 10. And they went ahead and pushed through contracts. Now, I live in a district, or I teach in a district that did that. So I am currently still a member, still have to be a member of the union, and am not going to be freed from my shackles until July 1st of 2013.
Ah, but the legislation that passed will free you from those shackles then in Wisconsin.
Yes, they currently have something going on in the Supreme Court saying that they have a constitutional right to have mandated unionship, or, you know,
constitutional right to control your life.
Right. So they have that going on in the Supreme Court, which actually I did file an amicus curiae, kind of a front of the court mm-hmm. to get my voice heard.
Right.
So let's say hypothetically they win that, then we could go back to compulsory unionism here in Wisconsin.
Is there any chance that they're going to win that? I guess it depends who the judges are.
I would say no. I wouldn't say that I know the Constitution inside and out, but I know it enough to know that there's nothing in there that says you have a right to force somebody to belong to an organization. No. But you know, from the things that I've seen going on with the Madison courts and the nonsense that they've been pulling, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say.
Well, that's the thing. If it's totally political, who knows? I think there was a Madison judge that recently that I forget what the punishment was, but somebody spanked their kid and said, "We don't do that anymore in America."
Yeah. And if you look at the way children are acting, it's pretty obvious we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, so you publish this newsletter, Freedom from the Teachers Unions, and I would actually, it seems to me, it may be more appropriate to go national with it. You know, maybe you want to free the teachers in Illinois.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, but you gotta. I can only bite off as much as I can chew, and right. You know what I mean. The bottom line is, I'm still a mom. I still have to go to work every day as a teacher, right. Although not in the summer, thank goodness. But so you know, you start small, and little by little, people are kind of coming on board and saying, you know, how do I do this? How do I become a fair share member? How do I leave the union? And there's power in numbers. There's strength in numbers, mm-hmm. and people can, you know, and they are. They're starting to come on board, and I find it interesting every week that I send out this newsletter. I get emails back from non-teachers, just regular citizens that had no idea what the NEA or WEAC was all about and what they've been doing, essentially with taxpayer money. And it shocks them, and they're sickened. And so they've been sharing the information, and little by little, you know, I can only.
Your union dues that it's compulsory you pay for. It pays for things like, I mean, do they contribute to like political parties? Or certain political parties?
That's funny that you asked that. Let me see. Yeah, they do. it's funny. It's such a racket. They, by law, they can only charge me. So I'm a fair share member, okay? And I pay $103 a month. That's how much they extort from my check every month. And by law, they can only charge me to pay, you know, to pay into administrative costs and collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. And they have a thing called, you know, PAC money. I'm sure you're familiar what that is. And so what they say is you don't have to pay for PAC money, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, money given basically directly to Obama and different Democrats right. that are running. What they don't say and what people don't seem to understand is that they have discretion to donate to any organization they want. I mean, so we're giving money to Acorn. We're giving money to, you know, we're filtering it through other organizations that in turn can use that money to give directly to campaigns. And so it's a racket.
Yes. Yeah, it amazes me to what extent it's a racket. I understood during these, the shenanigans going on there with the walkout by the state senators and whatever, that actually, that the teachers union actually had a law that mandated that the district, local districts had to purchase medical insurance through the teachers union insurance company, which is like charging twice the rates or something like that.
Yeah, that would be like racket number 27.3. I'm serious. It's crazy. So that was started, the WEAC Trust was started, you know, years and years ago, and it was started by WEAC. And then, of course, you get a new tax number, and all of a sudden, bam, it's a new business. It's totally separate from WEAC. Well, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know that WEAC and WEA Trust are, you know, brothers and sisters. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what they do. They collectively bargain once every 2 years, and they fight and strong arm and work the contract and threaten strikes, and districts then have no choice but to go with WEA Trust.
Well, speaking of threatening with strikes, you know, and see, to be honest, Christy, I'd be all in favor of collective bargaining for public employees if the taxpayer could go on strike too.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, that's what's so interesting is they put a lot of you know, time and money into school boards. I mean, school boards are supposed to be the voice for the taxpayer, right? So when you sit down, they're collectively bargaining. They're the voice of the people. That isn't the case anymore. I mean, you have retired teachers, current teachers, you know, union sympathizers sitting on school boards, and so it's all one-sided.
Right.
And to be honest, I don't know that I don't want collectively bargain. I want to bargain for myself. I don't want to be treated like a laborer and say, okay, Christy, you know, let's say I do a phenomenal job. I mean, I honestly, I think I'm an average teacher at best, but let's say I'm phenomenal. why should I, no matter what, get paid the same as somebody who isn't cutting the mustard? That's
well,
what
yeah, in a free
does.
Marketplace,
I mean,
the good teachers are going to be paid more, and the worst teachers are going to be paid less.
Yeah,
that's
I
the
want to
should
the table and say, here's what I've done, here's what I'm doing, here's what I bring to the table, and if you want me to stay in the district and keep doing a good job, you know, make it worth my time and worth my effort because I'm working for you. And I don't think taxpayers would have an issue with that. I mean, essentially, competition is going to bring the best people out.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, well, you would think so.
You would think so. Right?
But
I'm talking
have,
unicorns.
Well,
and rainbows,
we have,
but
you would if we were thinking logically in this country about education, from my viewpoint, we wouldn't have so-called public or government schools. Why would we have socialism in education in this country if we don't?
Because you have the unions running it.
Yeah.
I mean, they dictate. You know, it's such a groupthink and such a brainwash, and it's gone on for years. And so you have. I mean, it's going to take us a generation or two of teachers to kind of remove that mindset. It really is.
But you're optimistic. You think that mindset is being removed?
It's chipping away. Chipping
uh-huh.
away.
Chipping
I think
away.
The more that we talk with the younger generation of teachers and say, look, you know, here are your rights, these are your options, you know, here's what's really going on, here's how your money's being spent, I think they start to wake up and say, whoa, this is not okay. And I know some younger teachers that I teach with get very frustrated because they're doing so much and they're putting so much time and effort, and they see, you know, other teachers who aren't, and it's frustrating to them.
Well,
it is.
I would think a younger teacher must look at the facts and figures of the pensions plans and understand it's not going to be there for them.
Well, yeah, and that's usually a conversation because I've been teaching 15 years, so I'm kind of in the middle of the pack, and mm-hmm. We have some newer teachers at my school, and I'm like, no, you need to invest, do this, do that, because there isn't going to be anything, and if there is, it's probably not going to be enough to live off of, and then that's when the union, of course, comes in and says, no, we're, you know, going to save the world and save you, you need us, pay us money, and essentially, they're not doing anything. Not
well,
really.
In
they're
the
just
private sector,
their own pockets.
In the private sector, who even has pensions anymore?
Oh, right. Exactly.
It's 401ks, and that seems to be the way to go for teachers. Would be any new teacher that gets hired. It seems to me there should be a law in every state. Get rid of the pension, set them up on 401ks.
Yeah, but it's like I said, the union has created this mindset that teachers are treated badly, and it's me, and give me, and it's perpetuated in every school, and I don't want to say every teacher feels that way, and I'm not downing my profession. I do have a great job, and there's many great teachers,
but we
don't get to speak for ourselves. I mean,
yeah,
the union's
you're burdened with the point, the fact that you have to work 9 months a year.
Yeah, is that horrid? Yeah, 9 months a year.
That's so rough. I tell you.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Well, I teach high school, so I have to tell you, by the time June rolls around, I really do need my summer.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
You're never going to hear me say that I don't have a great job. You're mm-hmm. not going to hear that out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even if the – so what do we do about the pension plans? Are we going to have to even reduce the pensions of those who've been promised certain pensions? I'm not sure.
Well, you're talking money, which obviously I'm not good at. But,
well,
it's not. But, I mean, you know, I think the more that we start taking local control, like making schools kind of a local issue, I mean, if you have a district that, you know, has a certain income level coming in and they can decide what they do with that budget, and if that budget says, hey, you know, we can offer this type of a pension plan for our teachers, then they should have a right to do that. But you might have other districts where they don't, you know, where they need to be able to, you know, kind of have some wiggle room and be creative with what they're offering teachers. And,
sure.
And I think that's where we get in trouble, where we start, you know, the behemoths of the Department of Public Education and,
right.
you know, the United States. Too many cooks are in the kitchen, and it's taking away control of local districts, and I think that's where it needs to start, because every district's different in what they have to offer and the amount of money that's coming in.
Well, that sounds like a huge start of a reform to me, is bring things back to the local level.
Yeah.
And certainly get the federal government totally out of it.
Yeah,
boss
absolutely.
The Department of Education, and what, I mean, since its inception, great, the test scores have just plummeted, haven't they? Pretty
well,
much.
Well, they have, and it's right. We're not talking about the pink elephant in the room. And I hate to say this, and this makes people hate me, but let's be honest. The day that we can start getting rid of ineffective teachers, and I don't mean the two-year process and going through this and paying them to sit in a room, you know, I'm talking about you are not doing a good job. We've done everything we can to help you. I'm sorry, this was not the profession for you. Until the day that we can do that, I don't see any real reform taking place. I really don't.
So we should get rid of who has tenure in any other occupation? But I mean, besides education.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And it's a fallacy. Tenure is a fallacy. It's a promise that it's the union saying, look, you know, you need us. We have a tenure. We're going to protect this. But the truth is, and I don't know how this is in Illinois, but here in Wisconsin, I have state statutes that protect me as a civil employee. We have some of the best in the country. So why am I paying this money? I don't need tenure. If I'm removed for a reason that's really, you know, not appropriate, there's laws in place to protect me. Mm-hmm. I have those.
But
so,
the reality
tenure is just kind of a... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that tenure is kind of a farce.
Yeah, it seems like
Unless
you're molesting a fourth grade girl or something like that, it's
oh well.
Very
even
hard.
Even then, you get put back in the classroom. So
really?
Well, yeah, we just had an issue in Wisconsin. I can't remember the city, but there was a really inappropriate behavior by a teacher. It went to arbitration, and now that teacher has his job back.
Really?
So I mean, it's. Yeah.
That sounds worse than the Catholic Church. At least they moved the priests around a little bit or something.
Oh, we do that too. We do that too. I don't want this person. You take them. Absolutely.
We're talking with Christy LaCroix. She is a publisher of the newsletter Freedom from Teachers Union. What's the website, by the way?
Well, I don't have a website that goes with it. Again, I'm an English teacher. Technology scares me. But if anybody wants to sign up for the newsletter, they can just email me at freetoteach, which is F-R-E-E, the number 2, and then teach@hotmail.com. And I'll get them signed up with the electronic newsletter. And it comes out every Thursday.
Very good.
And I do that along, actually, with another teacher. So.
All right. We're again, Christy LaCroix, the publisher of Freedom from Teacher Unions, and we will be back. Oh, I should give the phone number out. It's 931-1410. That's 847-931-1410. If you have any comments, observations, questions, give us a call, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. 877-477-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking with Christy LaCroix about education and unions and why we have them, why we shouldn't, maybe. Let me ask you this, Christy. Do the unions affect how you teach at all?
You know, I would say they do in a little bit of way. You know, let's say a teacher says that they want to do something a little bit outside of the box, right? Or they want to put an extra time or extra hours, and they're willing to do that without being paid. The union essentially could come in and say, no, you have to be paid. And so you could actually have programs being eliminated within the schools because, you know, they demand that teachers are paid a certain amount for that extra time they're putting in. So in that essence, it does. As far as me walking into a classroom and the curriculum that I teach and how I teach it, does it affect it? No, I don't really get anything from the NEA or WEAC saying, here's how you can be better at your craft. I don't get that. Really all I get is, here's who you need to vote for. You know, Walker sucks, Bush is, you know, Satan. I mean, really, that's what I get. And so, you know, the in and out day to day.
Well, Bush might be no, Bush like, might be Satan. No,
well, we can debate that on another show, but we'll talk about that another time. But he, you know, no, they don't. They really don't.
Yeah.
If anything, I find that they're hindering reform.
Right.
They don't want charter schools. They don't want anything that's outside of their box, and that box better include union dues.
Right.
Paying teachers.
Yeah, or voucher system. They keep on fighting that. Now, you got at least the pilot program in Milwaukee, the voucher system, which I understand is working pretty well for the inner city. And the inner city people seem to want vouchers.
Yeah. Imagine parents having a choice to take their child and have them educated in an effective school. I mean, what a crazy concept, right? You know, so instead of having a conversation of why are our schools failing and how do we fix this, we're just going to complain and scream and yell that parents have a choice. I mean, what world are we living in that we want to tell a parent, you know what, yeah, your kid goes to a school that sucks, too bad, deal with that.
Well, the teachers and the teachers' unions, they know better, I'm sure, for the child than the parent does.
No, not the teachers' unions. And many teachers do, but it's so frustrating. I mean, it's a behemoth. The union's a behemoth, it is. And it's such a tangled web that, I mean, it takes a lot of fortitude and strength and intelligence and research to try to make your way through it and actually tackle them and take them on.
So, but in a year, you're saying, unless the Supreme Court of Wisconsin overturns things.
No, the Supreme Court of the United States.
Oh, it's going to the United States Supreme Court.
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, I'll be hard pressed unless some Supreme Court justice dies in the interim. I doubt very much that they're going to rule, that there's going to be a majority that's going to rule that there's a constitutional right
I hope that's not the case. But nothing surprises me lately, I'll be honest with you.
But I guess what I'm saying is, but we do need you in Illinois. I mean, your job might be done in Wisconsin.
No. Well, you know, like I said, little by little, and I don't work for this association, but there's a national association called the Association of American Educators, and it's a non-union option.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I'd never heard of it. They've been around for quite a bit of time. I never heard of it, which I'm sure is because WEAC has done such a good job keeping them out of Wisconsin. But I have to tell you, the more that I learn about this, it boggles my mind. Membership is $15 a month. All right, so $180 a year. I pay more than that in 2 months with the union, and I get double the liability insurance, double. So I get $2 million as opposed to $1 million, and it's amazing. You go to their website, and they actually do look at, okay, here's some neat things going on in classrooms. Let's share this. How can we do it better at our craft? What can we do about education reform? And there's no politics. They don't do any type of, you know, lobbying or donating to politicians. It's an amazing association. So I think part of what I'm doing is, you know, wanting to educate the community and teachers about really what the union is doing and how they're not what we need. I'm also trying to kind of educate people about the Association of American Educators and say, look, you have this option that treats you like a professional as opposed to a laborer.
That sounds terrific. How could any teacher? I don't see how any teacher would be opposed to joining that. You know,
right? I totally agree with you. It's amazing, and so I really want to get the word out about them. And in fact, this week I'm having, well, not me, a couple of us are doing dinners throughout the state of Wisconsin and inviting teachers and saying, hey, you know, we're going to sit down, we're going to eat, and we're going to talk about this non-union option you have. And I don't work for them. I'm just so passionate about what they're doing that, you know, I really want to get that word out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go back to what you mentioned about, you know, if somebody wants to do something extra, maybe you have some special students that just need a little more attention, and you're willing to stay after normal school hours to mm-hmm. help them along. You're saying actually that the union would restrict.
Well, they could.
They could.
I wouldn't say that they would. I mean, certainly, you know, I give extra time, and, you know, I had a group of kids that I met with on Sundays at the coffee shop to do homework time. We did that for a couple hours, and it was fun, and we sat and drank coffee and did homework. But essentially, they could. I mean, they could tell teachers, we want you to work to contract, meaning you do nothing outside of, you know, what that contract says. And so that means you're not writing letters of recommendation. You're not going to, you know, high school graduation. You're not going to sporting events. You can't do any of that. And I know that in my district, a little bit before I started teaching, they did a work to contract. They had a time that they did that. And so, you know, students were missing out. Definitely mm-hmm. missing out from all the help from teachers.
And that is, yeah, that, frankly, that is the union mentality. I know in musicians union, they're very strict about that. You know, you have a symphony that, you know, that practices maybe 5 minutes more than the allotted, you know, rules provide, and hell breaks loose. You know, it's,
yeah,
you're paying through the nose probably for those extra 5 minutes.
Yeah, because we don't want anyone to be good or better than anybody else. I mean, really, that's what they're telling us. That's what the union is saying. We don't want you to shine. We don't want you to be effective. We don't want you to, you know, we're always pandering and catering to the least common denominator, which is, it's sad.
Well, that is sad, and that seems to be, catering to the least common denominator seems to be the new motto of America, in a
mm-hmm.
sense. So,
yeah,
it's not surprising.
When has the union cracked down on that, though? When have they actually enforced that kind of a regime?
This is Mike.
When have they done that? Oh, that's okay. Like I said, you know, it depends. It's district to district because you have, you know, people are familiar with the idea of WEAC, right? That's the state union. But in truth, every district then has its own local union, and they make those decisions based on their local district level. And so, yeah, you have that. So to give you an exact place and time, you know, I can't rattle that off, but yes, it's been enacted in many districts.
Does it prevent you from doing your job to the extent that you want to do your job? I mean, have you ever felt like you shouldn't do something because of the union?
I've never worked in a situation of work to contract, but I've spoken with teachers that have, and they said, yeah, I mean, you're given the dirty books. There's the whispering about you in the corner group of teachers if you're going above and beyond. And so some of the teachers that I spoke with actually said that, you know, they felt like they were in a stealth mission where they had to, you know, be able to do their job and help kids, but they had to go about it in a way that was sneaky and, you know, kind of under the radar.
Okay,
so the union.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the union really does rely on kind of the groupthink, and they rely on members that love the union. They rely on them to do their dirty work for them. And so it's not, you know, it's not somebody showing up at your house with a gun and throwing bricks through your window, but it's those little things like, you know, not being invited to parties or whisperings about you in the teacher's lounge or rolling of the eyes or, I mean, it's these little things. And over time, it just becomes so hurtful. And I think it makes people leave the profession.
We're talking with Christy LaCroix about unions and teaching, and the phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings talking with Katie LaCroix. What do you say we go to the phones, Katie?
Okay.
Christy, I'm sorry. Christy.
That's all right.
all right, we have John. Hi, John.
Hi. Christy, I'd like to know... What kind of circulation do you have on your newsletter?
What kind of circulation? You know, I'm not even, again, technology beyond me. I can't give you an exact number because, honestly, it changes every day. People are sharing it. They'll forward it. And then people go to the bottom, hit sign up, and so that it changes daily. I do have a Facebook page that is connected with the Freedom From Teachers Union newsletter, so you can go to that too. And I think we just hit a little over 1,300 kind of likes, so to say, on that. And so it's, you know, it's an ever-changing thing because people are sharing it and sending it to teachers that they know, and, you know, so it's, there's sign up on a daily basis to receive it.
Well, for a topic, for a newsletter that's as specific for a group as that, I think 1,300, that's quite, actually, that's quite good.
Yeah, well, that's the Facebook likes. So, you know, I mean, if you're looking at numbers, and most of the people that are, you know, on that Facebook are subscribers as well. So, you know, it's hard to give you a definite number.
Also, I'd like to know. You said you, like, you don't get invited to parties. Is that like you don't get to these parties? Other teachers.
I don't get invited to parties. I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Are you sort of a loner at your school, or is there others that agree with you?
Oh, no, I'm not a loner at all. Actually, I've been doing this fight even before Governor Walker and Act 10 kind of came on the scene. I've been kind of going, not going against, but just trying to, you know, question the union and question their practices. And so that's been going on for a bit of time. And like I said, I became a fair share member, and I actually get my liability insurance back from the NEA because I know darn well that they're using a lot of the money they say is for that. They're using it for political purposes. And so I actually had teachers come to me, even in my own building, and say, look, you know, I want to do what you're doing. How do I do that? And so I told them exactly what to do, gave them, you know, the paperwork and said, here's where you got to send it. Here's how this goes. And so, no, there's actually several teachers in my building, you know, that have taken the same course. That being said, are there teachers that have shunned me? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this past year, I definitely went to school many days, just went into my classroom and shut the door and taught my students and went home.
Does the management of the school have any attitude toward you, whether positive or negative?
No, the principal of my school actually supports me. He had done a television ad for Governor Walker, which was really controversial and caused me much grief, but I'm glad I did it. And when I was called to ask to do this TV ad, I went to my principal and said, look, I was asked to do this. I want to do it, but you're my boss and I respect your opinion and I don't want to bring any undue stress upon the school or upon you. And he kind of looked at me real funny. He says, Christy, if you don't do it, I'll fire your butt. So, I mean, he was really, he's absolutely amazing. His name is William Hittman. He's the principal of my school, and I really couldn't ask to work for a better man.
You said you got some grief, and you did a statewide ad. Did you get threats of physical force or anything?
No physical. I was, let's see, this is a good one. This will be a good story. After that came out, I was receiving daily emails of hate. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. We hate you. You're an idiot. there was a hate piece, kind of a hit piece put out on me by Politiscope. You can still see it. It was never taken down.
Did they spell idiot said, right, by the way?
Yeah, they did. Okay. They did. I was called Hitler. Benedict Arnold, Judas, all of that. And so Politiscope did this thing, and the header says, Walker's poster child applauds white pride speech. And they have this article saying that I'm at a KKK-like rally, and I led the standing ovation during a white pride speech. And then they have this audio at the bottom, which they say is not me, but they say it's, here's a woman giving a white pride speech, and Christy was there, and she led the standing applause. And so, yeah, so when you Google my name, that's what comes up. So, like, any potential students or parents of students might want to see who's going to be teaching their child, that's what's going to come up. There was a little bit of a Fire Christy movement online that they tried to start. So they were calling my superintendent, calling my principal. They were posting my kids' names, where they go to school, trying to attack my husband, you know, stuff like that.
So, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any problem with your own children?
No. Luckily, I have two very tough kids, and they're both very good in school, so there definitely would have been a red flag. You know, I would have seen that right away if teachers were trying to take revenge on my kids. I would have noticed that right away. And no, there really wasn't. I think, you know, they know who they're, they know that I'm their mom, and I think that they know that I'm not going to back down and I'm not going to tolerate that. So, knock on wood, all of my kids' teachers have been very professional.
Very good. Anything else, John? Well, we gotta move on.
Okay, Ken, the links to Christy and her newsletter are on your website.
Okay, so yeah, so anybody wants to check that out, freedomrings.net.
Fantastic.
We'll link to Christy LaCroix's newsletter. Christy, thank you very much for being on the show today, and more power to you. Good luck to you and on your onward fight towards compulsory unions.
Hey, we'll get there.
All righty.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Quotation of the week, very short, and that's my standby. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.